Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
They have the kid. They are a lot older, mm-hmm. right? But they don't, they're not very cognizant of the fact that once you had a child and you got married, your life has now changed.
Yes, exactly.
And so they want to be a part of your non-kid life, but they don't know how to, right?
Yeah.
So I had, I'm in that age now where my friends are now having kids. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll go do things and they go, oh, let's go do some shit together too.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, like, oh, can like my wife and kids come? I'm like, you're not coming. And they're like, oh, why not? I'm like, this is not a wife and kids type of trip. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. I forgot my personal cameras. So if you're watching this on the video side, not only did I, I didn't forget the cameras. I forgot the SD cards and the lenses, which apparently—
You forgot your life, bro.
Yeah.
You left it in Big Bear.
Which is very, very important. So we're just shooting it on the regular camera, which is, you know, perfectly fine. But I prefer the way that I shoot things, so— But whatever, man. We just got back from Big Bear.
Yes, sir.
Fun little trip. Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. It's your little bachelor trip.
Dude, when we had that, you know, it was essentially the original K-Town crew.
Yeah, yeah. Except we're much older.
Dog, when I looked at the group photo that we had, All I saw was like a bunch of fucking Ajishis, dude.
I know. I mean, that's what we are, though. We're middle-aged now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
We're fucking mid-30s, dude.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself. Shit, I'm almost 40, man. Shit.
That's fucking crazy. Time goes by so fast, man. Yeah, I was looking at that photo.
Yeah.
And I started cracking up because, you know, we were talking about at the trip, like when you're in your mid-20s, You care about so many different things, right? And then as you get older, you care less and less and less. I'm at the point where I care about almost absolutely nothing.
Yeah. No, it's priorities, right? I mean, As you go through life, you start to recognize the things that improve your quality of life versus take away from it.
Yeah.
And you just focus on the things that, you know, improve your quality of life or keep it at a good place. I just feel like now certain things just don't matter anymore, like you said, you know?
I saw this... like a couple of photos, like a couple months back, Where a couple of Tongzangs, they went to not Big Bear, but Tahoe. And they're like dressed in like the nicest clothes ever. And they're at a cabin trip in the fucking forest.
Yeah.
and they got, you know, whatever the fucking nicest shirts, their fucking sneakers and everything else.
Yeah.
They got their fucking expensive shades on. They made sure to get a haircut before they went to the cabin. They're posing and shit. I'm like, you bitch ass. Give yourself 6 years. Yeah. And I want to see if you look like that at a fucking cabin trip.
Hey, you know what though? Granted, also too, I came up in street clothes the first day when you guys were already on the boat. And so I was definitely overdressed, I felt like, for the occasion. Because everybody else,
I mean, you're
like,
definitely one of the more fashionable ones out of all of us. Like, there's a couple of people in the group who have never been fashionable from the date, from the jump. So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was, we weren't expecting anything else anyways. Yeah. I looked decrepit. Like, when I showed up.
Auntie D. Luffy. That's what I was saying.
Auntie D. Luffy, dude. So Big Bear is pretty crazy. If you guys haven't been there, I mean, I've been there a couple of times, but I think just because the weather this whole year has been fucking nuts.
Yeah, bipolar as fuck, man.
Yeah,
bipolar.
So it rained in LA again in September, which never fucking happens, right? Yeah. We had the quote-unquote tropical storm that happened. And this time on his way up, it was terrible.
Bro, like, so we were coming up, guys, and we had pouring rain for like 5 minutes. It would stop, clear up, start sprinkling, clear up. Rain a little bit, clear up. Fog hits in, clears up. Can't see anything, like 3 feet visibility, clears up. So we're coming up the mountain and these guys are already up there. So we're like, yo, we're boating in this weather? Like, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. And then once we get up to the, you know, peak elevation, it's like clear and sunny. Yeah. We're like, what the fuck?
It was weird. It was like cold, rainy, hot, cold, rainy, hot. But the second day that we were there, it was pretty fucking nice.
Yeah. Oh, that was our last full day there, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much ideal fucking weather. Yeah. It was absolutely perfect. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But when we're doing this like Big Bear trip, this is like technically like a quote unquote bachelor party. I've been married for 2 years now. But so it's not like the bachelor party that most people think where, you know, you get strippers and whatever, whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't really care for that. That's not my stage in life right now. So my stage.
So that's what we're saying on the record.
There was big booty bitches. No. We just went into a cabin, just chilled and kicking. We got a really big spot. It had like a pool table, foosball table, movie room, and everybody kind of just got to do what they wanted to do and just chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then we kind of saw, like, when I was looking at this photo, like I said earlier, like, I really don't give a fuck. Just looking at the photos of me just made me laugh because I'm picturing my younger 20-year-old self and now.
Right.
And this 20-year-old self never understood why, like, my dad suddenly had this weird departure from dressing the way he did, because I saw old photos of him.
Yeah, he's styling.
Yeah, he was styling. Yeah. Like, he looked really fucking good. He had the cool ass fucking aviators, you know, the slick little fucking jacket, the pants, the high top sneaks. And it was when he was in his 30s. Like,
right.
I think if it was in America at the time, my brother was just born, so 2 years old. So my dad had to be about like 32, 34.
Yeah.
33, 34. So maybe like around the age I am now, maybe a year younger or so, about a year younger.
Yeah.
And he looked great.
Yeah.
And then I see him now, Kirkland shoes.
Yeah. He got tired, bro. Life set in, you know?
And I get it. Yeah. It's like you have a kid. You have all these things. You're married. Your life is set. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely nobody to impress whatsoever.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I mean, even look at our progression with things like shoes, for example, right? I mean, we still love Jays, but we choose not to put them on because we focus more on practicality now, right?
Yeah.
Of like, yo, Jays aren't comfortable. I'd rather have comfortable shoes on that look decent. You know?
We could talk about that. So that's the other thing. First of all, as a kid growing up, not having a lot of money, I wanted every single J possible.
Right. 100%.
And I might have mentioned this before where when I first started making a lot of money, I bought everything and anything I wanted when I was a kid that I could not afford.
Same.
Right?
Same. Yeah.
So when I was younger, like if we had stuff that we couldn't afford, either somebody had to steal that shit or we had to hustle to get it, right?
Yep.
And, you know, when I started making YouTube, just to put it in perspective, when I first came to LA, my first YouTube check was like, I think it was like $500. And I was like, oh shit, I'm rich.
I'm balling,
baby.
Yeah.
My rent was like $250 because my cousin was paying for most of my rent.
Mm.
So it was $250 for the room. I kind of paid that. The other $250 was food, which was going to be top ramen or whatever.
Right.
But then those checks started growing bigger. It was like $500 to $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 and on. And then I remember I was like, oh shit, I'm buying fucking everything. And these are shoes that I'd never had. Like Jordan 11s, I couldn't afford that shit.
Yeah.
A few of my friends had nice sneakers, right? I just never prioritized my money on that stuff because I just wanted other things. And then I remember putting on these Bred 11s that I always wanted.
Yes.
Put it on my fucking feet. And I was like, fuck, man, this shit right here, fucking uncomfortable.
Looks so nice, but so uncomfortable.
There's no breathing on patent leather whatsoever. Yeah. I was like, fuck. And I was fatter too. So I had like Street Fighter feet. Yeah, I mean, that fucking thick ass feet.
Yes,
dude. Fuck, my feet were fat as hell.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. And I just fucking squeezed my feet in that shit.
Yeah.
And I just walked around on it. And I remember the first day that I was walking around on it, I wasn't trying to crease it. So I'm trying to walk all nice.
Right.
But then when I took it off, I had blisters on my feet. And I'm like, damn, is this how everybody feels with their fucking shoes?
Yeah.
And then I kept on and I was like, okay, I'm getting the fives, the fours, the threes. The threes were probably the most comfortable Jordan. Mm-hmm. So if you guys don't wear sneakers at all, very wide base, fat shoe.
Yeah.
Right. But basically goes with absolutely anything. And I fucking love those. And those were my favorites. And then I started going into like the taxis and everything else. And my favorite shoe of all time is the Jordan 1. And it is the most uncomfortable shoe that has ever been made in history.
Yeah.
So I don't give a fuck what anybody, I love the way they look.
No, for sure. But that's what I mean is that like, you know, we still appreciate it. It's still like very nostalgic and a part of our childhood, but it's like, I don't want to spend even half a day with those on walking around, you know?
I got these Jordan, I got the Bred ones, I got the Chicago ones, I got the distressed ones. I have the Travis Scott, his version of the Mocha ones.
Right,
I just look at them.
Yeah.
Because I know if I put that in my feet, I'm going to bleed through those bitches in 2 hours.
Say, man, I just have boxes in my closet, you know? I mean, I have quite a bit of a collection of shoes. I would say like, I don't know, over 30 pairs at least.
Yeah.
That I would still potentially wear these days, but how many I actually rotate through? I don't know, maybe like 3, 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. Like I look at them, like I still have them, and this is what I did. I told myself years ago after I went through this whole phase of like buying all the material possessions, getting the nice car, whatever, whatnot, it didn't do anything for me. So I said, I'm going to only keep the shoes that I will potentially wear. And I sold like probably 70% of my shoes.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you were doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I sold all of that shit, right? And I had some of the shoes that I wanted since day one, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of shoes that kind of drop now, they're almost not wearable. Like, they look fucking ridiculous.
Like, right? Spaceman boots and shit.
I'll tell you this right now. If you go on YouTube as we speak, and you go on any YouTube short, and you look at the most popular sneakerheads, and if you don't fall in this category, don't be offended, all right? And if you do, Jesus Christ, you are fucking hideous. The clothes that you wear, they wear these shoes, right? Yeah. And it's like this limited release. I don't even know the names. I'm not into sneakers that much anymore. But it's like a leather print here, fucking neon green here, and all this other weird shit. And like, damn, that shit's hot. Like, how much you get that for? Look at what the fuck you're wearing. Why are sneakerheads literally the worst dressed human beings on earth?
I mean, you know, it's like a trend, right? It's a trend. Sometimes maybe it sheds light also on our age again. It's just that we're becoming that old head who are like, don't understand it anymore. We're getting disconnected.
I would say that, but, and I always think about that stuff too. And I think about that stuff when I listen to music. Am I just being a fucking old head, or is this music just really, really fucking bad?
I don't see, for me, same. I don't think so. I just think that music sucks more than the music that we grew up with. I believe that. Some people might not feel that way. The younger generations might not feel that way. But when I listen to like, you know, like an old record that comes on, you know, I don't know. Off the top of my head, earlier this morning, I was listening to like The Watcher Part 2. Mm-hmm. Has Dre, Jay, and Rakim, right? Mm-hmm. Hip hop legends. When do you hear a track like that these days? You know what I mean? It's it's like, what the fuck is he even saying right now, dude? What is that?
Yeah, there's definitely, and a lot of people will probably disagree if you're younger, but there are younger generation rappers that are dope that don't rap in the style that we grew up with that I think are fucking dope as shit, right? But I think the, you know, problematic for me is that when I listen to a lot of like rappers now, it's just, I could take any fucking kid off the block that listens to your shit, they'll recite your lyrics and they'll sound just as good or even better than you.
Yeah.
And I think like that uniqueness sometimes has died out. And by the way, in our generation too, we had a plenty of our own shitty rappers.
For sure.
AKA Chingy. Like one hit wonder. He was fucking terrible. Man. He was a terrible rapper.
Yeah.
People don't really say it out loud, but in our generation, we had some trash ass fucking rappers.
We
did. You know?
We had the one hit wonders. Mm-hmm. Chingy was one of them.
I don't know a single song besides Holiday Inn.
No, right there.
Oh, that's
said,
right.
Said, I like the way you do that right there.
Like, was that is that fucking hot lyrics and bars? Absolutely fucking not. He was not a very good rapper.
He was.
But then he had club bangers, and I see that a lot with other like other younger rappers. But
yeah.
It's hard for me to kind of like, and I don't know. I just, like I said, if they feel replaceable, and that's in kind of any genre nowadays too. Mm. I might get fucking killed for this, and I don't give a fuck if you're a Swifty fan. I don't get it. Taylor Swift. Yeah. I don't understand what's so great about this, about Taylor Swift. Somebody explain that to me.
I think with somebody like Taylor Swift is that like when she had first come on the scene, people like her, Justin Bieber, right? The age group that were fucking with their music were pretty similar in age, you know? So they were like pre-teens to teens that were fucking with it. And then as they got older and the music sort of evolved, they stayed on, you know, stayed with them.
And they grew with them.
Yeah, they grew with them. And so, like, I think it's because they're able to relate to the things that they were singing about or talking about in their music. Whereas for us, we're so far removed from it. It's like, yo, that shit is stupid as fuck. Like, not to say that, you know, it's outright stupid, but, like, where we are in life, that what we find important in problems versus, like, let's say a teenager or a preteen. Right. Yeah. It's like trivial to us because we've already been there, done that. We got more important things to worry about. But that's just a progression of life, right? So like for them, that's still real. Like the what they're talking about, like the heartaches of, you know, losing your boyfriend or girlfriend at that, you know, puppy love stage. And we're looking at it like, come on, man, you don't know shit about love yet, you know?
Yeah, it's just like when I look at Taylor Swift, and she, like she's had very huge hits in it's even stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. But her fandom, to me, never equated to her talent, right? And this isn't, by the way, Swifty fans, I'm not saying she's not talented. She's very fucking talented and she makes like good music.
Yeah.
I guess if I were to explain it, it's like I don't understand the fandom behind it. Like the level, I get that she should be famous, but she's like excelling. Like it's getting to the point where they're going, Taylor Swift or Beyonce?
What do you mean? No.
But that's the argument.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying no. Like, she's not on the level of a Beyonce. She has a lot more to do and accomplish, I feel like, before she gets there.
Yeah. And so people are saying, like, the argument now is that, dude, like, Taylor Swift has surpassed Beyonce. And I'm like, I don't really see that. And by the way, if you ask me if I'm a huge Beyonce fan, no, I think she's a popular cultural icon,
right?
But I wouldn't be able to, like, if I hear a Beyonce song, I'm not like, oh, shit. You know, I'm just like, oh, that's Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, Beyonce is iconic, like Missy Elliott is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, if somebody told me, I'm like, oh, Missy Elliott is dope, but they're like, yo, why don't you rap, like, three of her songs? I wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. But I know as an artist, she's really fucking dope.
Yeah.
Same thing with Beyonce. But I don't see Taylor Swift matching up to Beyonce's, like, stature, and especially in terms of, like, what they've done.
Yeah, in terms of accolades, I'm speaking from, like, an accolade standpoint, but, I mean, at the same time, I feel like people who are fans of Taylor Swift can also easily make an argument for her belonging up there, just in the sheer number of, like, let's say
hits, plays,
awards, right? And look, like you said, she's talented in her own right. She could write her own songs. She could play instruments. You know,
I think she's dope.
Yeah. But I also get where you're coming from. Is that I think as a, you know, almost 40-year-old person, I look at her and I don't get it.
Hey, somebody who's a fucking Swifty fan, like, you guys write down what makes you love her so much. Like, I understand why people like her. I think she makes great music. I think she's an icon, all this other stuff. But people are comparing them fucking, like, her fandom and what she's done in this space and, you know, her concerts and everything. Like, she's like Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Like, this is the conversation that they're having about Taylor Swift.
Strongly disagree on that one.
Like, did she touch kids? I don't think so. I'm fucking kidding. I still don't believe Michael did it, by the way.
It was allegedly. It was allegedly. It was never proven, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, come on, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, fishy, fishy. Yeah, fishy. Come on now.
But yeah, no, I don't know, man. I don't know. I look at her and look at kind of like her counterpart in terms of like a guy pop singer would be like a Justin Bieber, right? Mm-hmm. His fandom is crazy too, and they're hardcore. And even though he doesn't regularly put out music and he's had these kind of controversies throughout his life, the fandom is still strong and alive, yeah. You know?
I see, like when we talk about, just to go back to that topic about our age, like I'm seeing, maybe not so much in like the way that we look or anything else in our age, but mm-hmm. like I said, kind of where we prioritize what's important and what's not. One of the things that I get really sad about is when I go on Instagram and I see our friends who are getting older and they're like trying so hard to hold on to their youth. Like it literally hurts me to watch them try to be young. Uh-huh. And as if getting older is the worst thing on earth. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I see it a lot in guys who kind of I knew that were the definition of fuckboy before fuckboy was coined a term, right?
And they're trying to hold on to the fuckboy.
They're trying to be a fuckboy and you're 45, bro. Like it's, you can't do it. No, it's not just possible. Yeah. Your grades are in.
Yeah, that's just sad. It's even worse when they are married with kids and they're still trying to be on that shit.
It's the worst, man. Yeah. Like I see them and it's funny too. I'm kind of fucked up because like I'll write like a fucking mean comment. They always delete my comments, which is so dumb. Right? I fucking hate when they do that.
They're like, chill, bro, chill. Yeah. Let me be me. Let me do me.
So a friend of mine recently, and you know, he's been doing this for quite a while now, and everybody knows this about him. And once again, we don't say names on the podcast. Yeah. And I'm not going to give you his Instagram handle, but I really want to. But he started recently using bruh, B-R-U-H, mm. right? And this guy's like 46. Uh-huh. So he's not really like a friend. He's like a young, right? Okay. And you could tell he literally just learned this word because he uses it all the time now. So he write like in his captions, like you'll without fail see bruh put somewhere in it.
Yeah.
Even when the context doesn't allow for it. And so I wrote on the comment, I'm like, you literally learned that word yesterday and you can't stop using it, you old ass fucker. Yeah. Right? And then he deletes the comment immediately. And so I just kept reposting a different version of that joke.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, maybe something happened. That right. You know? So I just kept posting, making fun of him. Yeah. And it kept disappearing. Yeah. And so I DM'd him. I was like, are you deleting my fucking comment?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He goes, nah, quit fucking outing me out like that, dog. I'm like, well, so you know it's true then. Stop fucking doing this.
Yeah.
But he's becoming that guy too where as you guys will get older, you'll see these type of friends where they just refuse to age. And what I mean by that, age not in terms of your activity, like the youthfulness in you as a human being, but they want to be a part of a culture that doesn't apply to them anymore, right?
That youth culture.
And so for us, he's kind of getting like weeded out.
Yeah.
He's not really that close to me. So in that friend group, he's getting weeded out now mm-hmm. where these friends are having kids. They're, you know, financially really stable. They're doing other things.
Yeah.
And because he can't relate to them anymore, he's now that 46-year-old that hangs out with 20-year-olds.
Is he single still?
He has a girlfriend, I think. I'm not sure if they're still together.
Okay.
But he's now that old guy that hangs out with the young group. And it's just like watching it it hurts me.
I don't know how the fuck you could be 46 and hang out with a bunch of 20-year-olds.
What do you talk about?
Yeah, what do you do is my, because look.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Going back to like the Big Bear trip, right? Like symptom of our age is look how early we slept, you know?
Hey,
nobody.
10:30, baby, let's go.
Nobody is up, you know, raging till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, right? Or just not even raging, but just chilling even, right? But me and Ed, we were actually talking about this up in Big Bear too, is that like where we're at now, when you're single, without, let's say, a wife and a kid or even kids, what does your social life look like? You know, because one, we don't have the same type of energy that we used to have. Yeah. Two, we're not interested in doing the shit that we used to do in our 20s and let's say even our early 30s, right? And three is finding, I guess, the time for it too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, this is coming off the heels of like the pandemic, where we kind of had a hard stop on social life, yet people at our age, we were kind of in that transition of going from like, oh, we're going out every weekend to, oh, we're not going out as much to, oh, we're only seeing each other once like every few months. Yeah. But then all of a sudden that just became boom. Now nobody's seeing anybody for like a year or two.
Yeah.
And then we come out of it and then it's like, okay, so what does social life look like now? You know? And then like for me, most of my homies, they're all married with kids. Mm-hmm. At least one kid, if not two or three even.
Yeah.
So when we hang out, it's in some sort of like kid event, like a birthday or a tour. So for me, like my social life, I'm always questioning like, what do I do at this age? And like, even if I want to do something, most times I'm like so tired from like the stress and like, you know, just the day-to-day shit with secret society that I don't even want to go out. I just want to chill and do nothing, you know?
Well, on the other side too, there are friends who they have the kid. They are a lot older, mm-hmm. right? But they're not very cognizant of the fact that once you had a child and you got married, your life has now changed.
Yes, exactly. And so
they want to be a part of your non-kid life. But they don't know how to, right?
Yeah.
So I had, I'm in that age now where my friends are now having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'll go do things and they go, oh, let's go do some shit together too.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, like, oh, can like my wife and kids come? I'm like, you're not coming. And they're like, oh, why not? I'm like, this is not a wife and kids type of trip.
I hate when people impose that, man. Yeah. Like it's like equivalent to like when we were younger and then it's like homies trip.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, can I bring my girl?
No.
It's like, bro, we're talking about a homies trip. What in that made you thought it's cool to bring your girl? You know? That's
like,
what it is.
It's really that version. Yeah. And so now they're like, oh, they're just going to be chill. It's like, no. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You're not coming.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, it's not because we don't want you there. You are now in a different stage in your life and you have to accept it, right? If in fact that it's a family trip, and then you want me to come along with some other friends, then yeah, because now we're on your schedule, right? Because we're on your scheduled family time. So now it's like Uncle David and whatever, whatnot. But the moment you decided to have a kid, you have to understand this is your life now, right? You're not going to be able to do the stuff that we do. So for example, like this is not pertaining to this trip, but it's happened multiple times. And I'm pretty sure anybody else out there who's around our age, whether in their late 20s or early 30s, have probably experienced this where we're like, hey, let's all go get dinner, you know, and catch up. And they go, cool, let's go do that. And they go, oh, can we find a place where kids are, where we can go with kids?
I'm more kid friendly.
No.
Yeah.
We're not. we're absolutely not going to do that. Like, we'll do it on your accord if it's your event. But this is our event. We're going to go to a bar. We're going to drink and we're going to get some dope ass food.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on to a place where I'm going to get fucking dino nuggets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it hurts them a little bit. Yeah. And they're like, oh, come on. It's like, no. 8 of us aren't going to change our schedule for you. You have to accept the life that you made for yourself.
Dude, that's on them though. They got to be aware of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't impose your needs. You can't expect the majority to come and accommodate you because you don't want FOMO. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You got to be aware. Like, okay, I got kids. I got a wife. These are all guys who are just going out themselves. Okay, that doesn't fit. That doesn't match that environment. So I'll see you next time.
When I was in Hawaii the last time, there was a friend of mine who was there too with his family. He has like 3 kids. And he's like, oh, let's meet up and kick. He's like, let's go get some drinks or whatever. And I'm like, you have 3 kids. How the fuck are you going to do this? But we ended up not meeting up. And then, you know, for him, you know, it was like, it wasn't an awkward conversation. But, you know, these are like friends from like Sacramento, so I could talk to them however I want. I'm like, hey, listen, man, like you're not going to be able to kick it with me. He's like, no, I'll just tell my wife. I'm like, there's no way you're going to leave your wife with 3 fucking kids. Impossible. Like, I already know this, but he misses these moments and he wants to have it, you know, with me. He's like, oh, let's go drink. We'll go out to a beach and just chill and we'll catch up. I'm like, did you even ask your wife if this is even possible? Yeah. She'll be cool with it. I was like, get back to me. And this was he goes, yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm like, of course it's not going to happen. Like, also, you would be an asshole to leave your wife with 3 fucking kids.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to do that.
No, I mean, you know, it's like those type of situations are far and few. Like, you know, my homies who are married with kids, like, if I don't know, sometimes we're hanging out, whatever. They'll try to come out here and there, but like I said, it's so far and few. And there's a trade-off, right? Sometimes, like, the wife will have a night out with her friends and, you know, the husband will watch the kids, put them down, whatever. And then vice versa, right? The husband will go out for a night out and the wife will, you know, watch the kid. But, like, that's not something that's happening even, like, once a month. It's like once maybe every few months or, you know? And so you got to understand that, like, that is your life now. That is part of the responsibility of becoming a parent, a responsible parent, and a responsible spouse. You know, you can't just enter that chapter of your life and still do the things the same way. I think some people have a little bit harder time adapting and understanding that, you know?
That's that weird thing where I've dealt with more of the guys not understanding their new life now and then wanting to be a part of everything else that we do.
Yeah.
So it's like, nah, we don't have kids yet. So if you do want to come apart, we can't mold our schedule and lifestyle to you.
Yeah.
Like, when I go and visit you and your family, I'm on your time and your schedule and the way you do things.
Exactly.
So if let's say we all go to this Big Bear trip and there's a friend who's like, oh, can I bring my 2 kids? I will punt your kids out into the fucking Big Bear Lake. No, like, I love your kids.
Yeah.
They're not coming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't want to deal with kids screaming. I don't want to be Uncle David right now. I want to fucking do my own thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's not like the transition just happened. Like, if you've been in that chapter of your life for a number of years, you got to understand, like, it's a different territory now. Because it reminds me of, like, I remember a trip that we coincidentally took to Big Bear with some of my homies. And then, like, it was just when one of my homies had like this first kid and he was the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so, like, you know, he brought the kid because it was like girlfriends and wives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, you know, even at that age, we were still kind of like going ham deep into the night.
Of course.
But then it was different now. Like, once the kid went down and then we started getting loud and rowdy, it's like, hey, keep it down, you know, like the kid's sleeping. And I remember thinking, like, damn, this is what it's going to be now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Every year that passes by, this is going to become more and more. This group is going to get smaller and smaller because they're just not going to be available to, like, make the trip. But yeah, like, that's where we are. That's where we are now, man. That's life, you know?
And that stuff happens too. Like, I've definitely kicked it with, like, Bart, Gio, my friend Anna and Jeremy. And when they bring the kids, we have to be a little more quiet. And we've learned, but we've set the expectation of this is like a family kid type of trip, you know? And so those things are okay. Right. Where I'm like, okay. And it's weird too. Right. So we're like, okay, we're quiet. We're chilling. It's all kid time. And then you could see them when they put the kids to bed at 8. They're like, oh, thank fucking God. And then, you know,
It's relief.
And then from 8 to like 1, we're all kicking it and doing whatever.
Yeah.
And then, now too, they have like these white noise machines, so we get a little louder. So they stick the white noise machine in the room. They're like, finally, fucking thank God. Yeah. And they get to relax, joke around, curse, and do the things that they normally do.
Yeah.
And you see the freedom light up in their eyes a little bit, which is kind of dope. Yeah. And if or when I have a kid is like, I understand it's going to be hard for me to step away from my kid because, you know, you're going to be worried about them. They're always going to be on your mind. But I'll tell you this, though. When I need the space, they're going to grandma and grandpa's. Like, get the fuck out of my fucking sight.
But that's, like, such a huge luxury to even
have. Oh, 100%. You know what I 100%.
Mean? Yeah. And, like, you know, my parents keep telling me to hurry up so that they can watch my grandkids or their grandkids while they're relatively young and able. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, the longer I wait, that's going to become, you know, less likely that they're going to be able to do that for me. But at the same time, you know, you got to be in your own pace. You know what I mean? I'm not going to rush to fucking get married and have kids or whatever just so that,
you know. Like, we're in a place right now where we are very aware of these very specific timestamps in our lives, right? So now when I look at these photos and I can go back to when we were at the apartment in K-Town, just kicking it there 24/7, going out in K-Town, drinking, having fun, eating and stuff.
Yeah.
And I look at my life then and now, I'm like, oh shit, like we all look a little different. We're in a different headspace.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And
No, I mean, dude, we were, you know, like going for fucking walks. Like old people everybody enjoyed it. You know, it's like we came out, it's like, oh shit, the weather's not, we should go for a walk. Okay. You know, we go for a walk, come across, you know.
Old as fuck. We're driving this boat, right? This pontoon boat. Every time he saw a fucking family, this guy, like the fucking perverted neighbor, hey, hi. And I'm like, bro, you look like a creep.
Hey, man, I'm just being friendly. We were talking about that. Like, all right, we were actually talking about this on the trip, and I was saying how much it pisses me off when, you know, being in LA and you're just trying to be a decent human being and you say hello to people, you wave at them or just, you know, acknowledge them, and they just fucking stare at you. They don't reciprocate. And like being in a place like that, I know people are a little bit more friendlier. So I know, like, yeah, if I say hello to somebody, they'll reciprocate. And hey, man, I had people waving at me, you know?
Yeah, saying, by force. You might as well put a gun in their fucking head.
The funniest shit was, remember when that dude was like, you know, he saw a relatively young guy. And then so he was like this, and then he gave me the peace. And then I waved like this, and he he changed his piece into a wave. That shit was hilarious. But
there's people with so much money out there, it's unreal. When we were on the boat, and just going by these mansions by the lakeside,
right? Like 5-story fucking, you know, like 3,000-4,000 square feet mansions.
Ridiculous. I just want to know what these fucking people do, man. It's like, what the fuck are you doing for a living that allows you to live in a 4,000 square foot mansion?
Bro, I bet you that's not even where they live, though. I bet
that's
you
their vacation home.
Yeah, just a rental. Or, not even maybe a rental, but yeah, vacation home, dude.
Because I want to know what it's like to rent out one of those spots.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to do it with 50 other people because it's too expensive.
Exactly.
Look, no matter how much money I make, I don't care to spend things on like luxury. Like that, right? If it's going to cost me for a vacation just to stay at a place, $2,000 a night, I'm not going to go on my deathbed wondering what that was like. Like, I'm not going to wonder.
This doesn't matter.
Right? Like, I refuse. I still look at Honda Elements every time I drive by, and I'm like,
no, you pointed that out on the train. You're like, yo, look at that one right there.
I want to come to the owner's like, Honda Element, huh? Yeah. And then I become the creep of the trip with my fucking straw hat.
Yeah.
Honda Element, huh? You like that? It's great.
But yeah, I mean, look, man, it's you know, even though a lot has changed, I feel like the great thing is that, like, because look, man, even your brother, I hadn't seen John in like 5 or 6 years straight up since like he went to SD, you know, because at least 3 years because COVID, right? And then I hadn't seen him before that either. But then like we see each other and, you know, the rapport and the rhythm's still there. It's like we haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we haven't seen each other in like 5-6 years. And so we got to remember what this dynamic was like. It's like, it's still there and it's adjusted to like where we are in life now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I went back to some of the older stuff. Like, you know, sometimes people ask like, how come you don't do sketches and this anymore? Like I had a lot more time when I was younger.
And energy.
Time and energy.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep. at all. I only started sleeping in the last like 4 years.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I slept on average 2 to 3 hours a night for damn near 10 years.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm not even exaggerating. It was literally 2 to 3 hours. I would sleep at maybe, I don't know, 4 a.m., wake up at like 7 or 8, go up, do stuff, and maybe take another nap for like an hour, 30 minutes in between the day. And it was like that forever.
Yeah.
Just writing sketches, doing stupid shit, traveling, doing whatever. And then I just can't imagine myself doing that now. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't healthy for me then. So
for sure it wasn't.
Now I prioritize like rest and sleep a lot. And I think a lot of people are just being smarter about it. I think during, you know, in our age group, there wasn't as much accessible knowledge that this generation has now.
Yeah.
Even if it was like 10 years ago, that 10 years, because of like how much technology has advanced and how accessible like knowledge and information is now, you guys can make healthier and smarter choices that we didn't really know about.
But they don't.
Yeah, they don't. I think there's a lot more health conscious people our age, in a younger generation now, right? Mm. So now they get to listen to other scientists that do podcasts or whatever that talk about the importance of sleep, about health. People, obviously, we have an issue in the States with unhealthy people, unhealthy diets or whatever, but the knowledge is there. And I see a lot of younger people that prioritize their health.
Yeah.
They have a very specific regimen. And I'll give you a great example. When I was in high school, when it came to like physical science, like in terms of weight training, you guys have no idea how many stupid shit that we did that was taught to us by our coaches.
True.
Right? Like there was no, you know, there wasn't days for maximal effort. There wasn't times for when you would like progressively overload on your weights. We would just jump fucking weights. Yeah. I tore my my chest benching because I jumped from trying to bench, it was, what was it? Two plates and a 25. I don't know how much that is. That was
45, 90.
225. 90. So 275,
yeah.
That was my bench, right? And I was trying to max out at 275. Well, I did that adding the 225s, jumping from 225 to adding the 25. Like you would never do that now. And our weight coach was like, just try it out. And you would never see people do that. Well, now you're a lot smarter. You progressively overload that stuff.
Yeah.
You'll add 5 pounds here, 10 pounds here or whatever. And I fucking tore my chest. Mm. Like my squat form was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I thought like my max squat when I was 18 years old was 425. I guarantee you I wasn't even doing a full squat.
Yeah.
I was probably... the depth wasn't there and I just pushed it back up and I said my max was 425.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely not. Most likely it was probably around like the mid 300s.
And like in proper form and everything.
Yeah. If I did proper form, I probably would have pushed it up to like 350 at most, right? When I was 18. So like the amount of knowledge that young people have, it's way different. So for us, like I didn't know how detrimental not sleeping was to your brain.
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And then when I started reading things, I'm like, okay, I need to prioritize sleep, which is why I started smoking. And I don't like weed like during the daytime when I'm when I need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Cause it actually irritates me that I can't be cognizant of what's happening. Like one of our friends that was at the trip, he started he went through like a pretty messy messy divorce. And then I remember the day that he came over to a mutual friend's house and he was like talking about what's happening and what he felt. Well, he gave me a hit of his fucking vape. And by the way, I don't smoke hardcore shit. I literally smoke to sleep. It's medicinal for me.
Yeah.
So he gives me a hit of it. I don't know how strong weed is now. My memory of weed is when we were in high school.
Yeah.
You would get like ditch weed. Like the strongest shit back in the day was like fucking... like OG Kush, you know, whatever, that type of shit, right? I don't even remember the names anymore. Yeah. But nowadays, they put fucking Keef powder on top of it, the fucking sap, the crystals, all this other shit. They got crazy names. Whatever the fuck he gave me, I smoked that shit. He's like pouring out his heart to me. And the only thing I could say, I didn't hear any of it. Yeah. All I would do was like, I was like, stare at his nose. And then pretend like you care.
Yeah, so just be normal. Just be normal.
Because I did. He talked to me for like 30 minutes. I don't remember a damn thing.
Yeah.
And all I kept saying was like, damn, that sucks, man. Man, I feel for you. Oh, shit, bro. Damn, his life. And I just kept repeating the same things because it was so fucking harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you guys smoke now. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just like we were talking about before we started this, man. I was saying, you know, one hit can make it an ordeal. You know what I mean? Like if you don't know what you're smoking, it can become an ordeal real quick, real fast.
So we had just, you just end up in another fucking universe.
Yeah.
So when we were at Big Bear, you know, they brought some shit to smoke, and it was like towards the end of the night. I took a couple of hits and I started feeling a little drowsy, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a hot shower and I'll come back out. We'll finish this movie. All I remember was taking a shower, laying on my bed to charge my phone. And the next thing I woke up, it was morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the kitchen. And then this one walks out in the morning, and I was like, yo. And he's like, dude, what happened? He's like, well, how is it morning right now?
I had the craziest fucking dream, too.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
My lovely genius brain farts. This podcast is brought to you by Fume. Ever try to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up, baby. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. What is Fume, you ask? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy that makes replacing your bad habit easy. I keep one in my car just because I'm a fidgety guy. And guess what? I'd be puffing on that delicious herbal tea vapor, my friends. Nothing bad for you in there. And definitely, definitely fun to use. My friends, start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/genius and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code genius to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/genius to save 10% off the journey pack today.
It felt so fucking real. It was nuts. So,
oh yeah, with Paul.
Yeah, I had a dream that our buddy Paul came. You guys know I did music with him. Paul owed a lot of money to the triads, right? And why he owed him a lot of money wasn't because he borrowed money or because he was gambling. It was because he started a business selling fake shoes, right? Like replicas. And it was taking money from their business of selling replicas. So he was like killing their business, and Paul was making a killing off of it.
Yeah.
So this fool gets fucking kidnapped, and they're like literally beating the shit out of him, mm-hmm. right? And it turns out one of the dudes that had a deal with Paul was a homie of mine, right? Uh-huh. So I came in there. I found out where he was. I came through. You know, I dat them up or whatever. I was like, hey, listen, like you can't fucking kill him. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he's like laughing. He's like, okay, cool. He was like, all right, well, we can't just let him fucking go. Like, our business is fucked because of him.
Yeah.
And this feels so fucking real to me. Like, I couldn't even discern that it was a dream, even when I woke up.
Because you're still high while you're dreaming this.
And so he goes, okay, well, we're going to let him go. And so they kind of untie him. And then Paul's like fucking bawling because, you know, he's a married man. Yeah. He's worried about his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I call his wife. I was like, look, Paul's fine. We're dealing with this. He goes, okay. Well, he owes us 10 mil now.
Goddamn.
Yeah, and it's like, if we don't get that 10 mil within like the next couple of weeks, you're going to be back here and we're going to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
And they say to me, it's like, well, and then you now have a fee too. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. And so, but my fee was very nominal. It was like 10 Gs.
Okay.
I don't know why 10,000.
He just taxed you because you're there.
Yeah.
You
know? So I pay him the 10 Gs.
Yeah.
And I see Paul and we take him outside. It's daytime now. And Paul's sitting on the side of the stairs and he's fucking bawling because he's like, what's going to happen about my wife? And I was like, hey, listen, this is what you got to do. You just got to get the fuck out of the country, mm-hmm. right? Because most likely they're not going to find you or whatever. He goes, well, if I leave, they'll fucking my family. They'll know where my family lives and my wife is. And he's like distressed. And I'm like, I don't know what to fucking tell you. I can't help you out. Like the best thing I could do is, you know, save your life and make sure that you're not dead because I happen to know the dude. And then the guy, like Paul is bawling out of his fucking mind. And I'm like, you got to bounce. So I'm trying to drag him and like get him to an airport just to buy a ticket to leave the country. Then I wake up.
Yeah.
As I wake up, I'm like, oh, fuck, I got a warm wall.
You need to go. You need to leave right now.
So for like 10 minutes when I woke up, I couldn't figure out what was real or not. It's all fucked up in the morning.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
I'm a good friend, though, huh? Even in my dreams, I'm down as fuck.
Yeah.
But we hung out with Paul a week before.
I know, man. This motherfucker posted a picture. I said, bro, thanks for the invite, man. What the fuck?
Well, I didn't know. He was there for a wedding.
Yeah.
And I didn't know because we met up. I met up, I won't say her name, but another mutual friend. You know, Paul's best friend.
Yeah.
The girl.
Yeah.
So I saw her. She goes, oh, actually, Paul is in town, too. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I said, we're actually here for a wedding. And she goes, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then I think Z knew. So it was Z and John. Yeah. They were all hanging out.
Yeah.
And so I wrapped up dinner with her. And then we just met up at the hotel. And that was it.
Mm.
Yeah. But we were out to like fucking like two or three. Like, God damn. Back in the day.
Yeah.
I woke up fucked up. It was so bad. I'm like, we used to do this shit every night.
Yeah.
And I can't. And it made me feel like I had flashbacks of old time K-Town. And I just can't imagine myself doing this every night.
Yeah, bro. It's different, man. It's different. Even if you're not doing an activity and you're just going out and just hanging out, it's taxing, man. It's taxing. And that's coming from somebody like me who's a night owl. I'm a fucking night owl. But there's a difference between a night owl and just like relaxing versus a night owl and going out and doing something and chilling, mm-hmm. you know?
100%. Like, when I woke up the next day, because we, you know, Paul drinks a lot.
Yeah.
Like, Paul can drink anybody out of
the human garbage can was his nickname.
This fool would eat the same amount as me, drink more than me,
yeah.
but still have a six pack.
I know.
That shit was upsetting.
And then he would sober up in like 2 hours and then wants to do it all over
yep.
again. It's can't like, bro, do it. What do you mean, man?
The next day I woke up, like, I think at 12, which is the latest I've woken up in years,
yeah.
just hurting. Every cell in my body yeah. was aching.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul mentioned, he's like, it's good to see you, bro. I'm like, you seem fine. I'm dying.
Yeah.
My insides are fucked.
Yeah.
Like, my head is pounding. Everything is bad, dude.
Did you get tossed up or like, were you just got a good buzz going?
Well, I got pretty tossed up.
Okay.
But then I sobered up because yeah. I had a drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But even then, the after effects were right. still there.
It's lingering in
it's
there.
Still lingering because yeah. I was sober when I drove because yeah. I stopped drinking like at least two hours before
okay.
before I left.
Yeah.
So I was fine. I was sober. But then the next morning, aching.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, how the fuck is this possible, dude?
I think the quintessential like moment of describing how Paul eats and drinks is that like, that one time when it was his birthday and this guy got fucking smashed. We went to McDonald's at like 4 a.m, 24 hours.
I know which McDonald's
yeah.
it is too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right on Vermont, you know?
Yeah.
And this, like, we have to help this guy in because he can't fucking like walk properly. Eats like 3 fucking value meals, you know? Sobers up and is like, let's keep drinking. Walks out completely fine. Like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro?
He's not human.
Yeah, like, how does that happen? Now, you guys got to understand, we're not at McDonald's for, like, 5 hours. We're just there for, like, I don't know, an hour tops, yeah. right? He fucking, yeah, runs through, like, 3 fucking meals, talks completely normally, walks out completely normally. Like, let's go back and keep drinking.
If I could give you guys, like, a little glimpse of what we used to do, like, there was a spot, it closed down now, and if you're like a K-Town head, you would know about the spot called Piper's. Like, oh, Piper's yeah. was like the late Classic. Night spot, open 24-7, and then it started at 24-7, then they started closing around like 2.
Yeah.
But either way, it was like the last minute spot that you could always go to,
yeah.
aside from like the late night fuzz spots and everything else. Like, yeah. K-Town before COVID was popping till 6, 7 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you could find like the after-hour spots, which were underground, mm-hmm. you know?
And it was super fun. So Piper's used to have this thing called their kimchi carbonara and the Piper's burger.
The Piper's burger with that Parmesan crust on the bread.
The
bro.
Parmesan crust, and they had like, I think it was sourdough.
Yeah, it was.
It was sourdough white yep. bread
mm-hmm.
sliced, and it was a burger with their Piper's special sauce
yeah.
and a few other things.
So good.
I used to eat the kimchi carbonara, the Piper's burger, and the fries, and a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
That was like my whole meal. That's already after I had dinner, breakfast, and lunch. This is the late night snack.
Yeah.
The late night snack was at least 3,000 calories.
For sure.
And this is why I got really fucking fat.
Yeah.
So when I came from, Sacramento, and Sacramento does have good food, but it's hard to compare what that food is like when you could go to LA. LA yeah. is just more competitive, so people have to make better food.
For sure.
That's just you know, an aftermath of living in a very impacted metropolitan city.
Yeah.
So when I came to LA, I was like, dude, this food is fucking nuts here. It's delicious. I couldn't stop eating.
Yeah.
I had Korean barbecue every fucking night.
All you can eat, you know?
All you can eat. Budepo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to go eat Korean barbecue 24/7, all you can eat, all the time. And then at night, we would go eat at Piper's.
Yeah.
So Paul would eat the same food as me.
Exactly.
And then he would still be fit. Yeah. And I'm gradually getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Now, when I came to LA, I was already pretty big. I was heavier than I am now, right? Which I was like probably like 230.
Yeah.
Well, I went from 230 to like 290 eventually.
Oh, shit. Your max, your highest is like 290?
I was almost 300
Damn.
Pounds. Very fucking close. So I was 290 pounds.
Damn.
And so when I started making that switch to healthier food, it was really hard.
I remember.
Yeah. I remember I was just like, eat vegetables. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Like eating out would be like we'd go to like California Fish Grill, you know?
Yeah. Dude, our buddy Z,
yeah.
And if you've seen Z on our podcast, I've done music with him too. He went from like, I think at the time he was like 180 and then he went down to like 145.
Yeah.
And he had a six pack, which is crazy. But he was so serious about the way he was losing weight. We would go out to Korean barbecue and he brought out a portable scale.
That used to piss me off, man. I'm like, put that shit away, bro. Like, come on, dude. You could just fucking do like roughly. You don't got to sit there weighing each shit, you know?
He weighed out every piece of meat and whatever went into his mouth. And mind you, his results were fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was. But I was like, that's a little too much. Man, it's not gonna fucking make or break anything, you know?
But guess what happened? This fool had a taste of fucking carbs again. Motherfucker blew up again.
No, it was the pandemic. It was the pandemic, you know? Like, once the pandemic hit, he wasn't able to work out. It started getting complacent, lazy, you know, just eating,
fell
whatever.
In love,
yeah.
Got married.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so now he's like,
I'm happy. I'll tell you this though, I do like watching him eat again.
Cause he's the type of dude who really enjoys the food.
Yeah, it makes me want to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
I love eating with that fool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, we got the old Z back.
I know. No, you're exactly right though. Like when he was on that fit tip, going out to eat with him wasn't enjoyable because he's like so conscious about every little thing. I'm like, dude, just enjoy the meal, man.
Yeah.
We're out, just relax a little bit. Put that stupid shit away. You're not a fucking drug dealer. You're not weighing grams. Put that shit away and just enjoy. I was like, dude, this is a relatively healthy meal that you're eating right now.
Yeah.
It's a chicken breast with salad. You know, like just enjoy it.
The hard part is because me and Z are, the way that we eat, we're pretty much twins. We're both degenerates.
It's either or
there's no in between.
Yeah, there
is. It's either you control what you eat or you go to the depths of hell.
Yeah.
Like I blank out. Sometimes when I eat food and like even at the Big Bear trip, right? Dog, we were eating anything and everything inside.
Yeah.
And I didn't make healthy food either.
Yeah.
Like I did the tacos were pretty healthy.
Yeah, actually the tacos are healthy.
Yeah. I did like carne asada tacos with cotija cheese, like roasted salsa. I did the Spanish chistorra. Sausages, chop that shit up, super fucking good. Breakfast. Now, at the point at night, I probably could have eaten three tacos when I was full. I ate eight.
You ate eight?
I ate eight tacos that night.
Holy shit, I didn't know you
ate eight. I ate eight tacos.
Actually, you know what? That's why there was no more burritos. No, that was the tacos. The burritos, how many did you have in the morning?
Oh, I only had half.
Okay.
I had half but I had the shin.
Oh, yeah, the shin ramen. Yeah.
The burritos, though, like, that wasn't healthy at all.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have to eat the chips, the fucking red velvet cookies.
Yeah. Oh, those red velvet cookies.
They were so fucking good.
Money.
We had, like, beef jerky after that.
Well, Dan fucking brought, like, 10 bags of snacks. So I was like, dude, You're here for one night, bro. Like, what are you trying to do, man?
We did some work on those things, though.
He was like, just in case. And I was like, all right. And, you know, they got fucking blown.
It is what it is, dude. Yeah. But I definitely have a problem with, like, portion control. And that's what me and Z have an issue with.
Yeah.
So it's like either we control it to the T.
Yeah.
Because we can't self-regulate. You know those dogs that don't know how to regulate their own food?
Yeah.
Like, certain dogs, they'll eat food out of the bowl. And then when they're full, they'll stop.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm the Labrador that eats until
the
they throw
back,
up. Right? Because I don't know when I'm full.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And even at that Big Bear trip, I wasn't feeling very good because I haven't eaten like that in a long time.
Nobody was feeling good.
Dog, I ate through the pain. I was like, dog, my stomach hurts. I'm just eating that
power
extra time.
Power through it.
I don't have to.
Yeah.
I can't even do that for a workout. You know what I mean? Like if I work out, I go, oh, just power through. No, Mario knows. Like if I work out at home, I'm hitting the bag, 3 minutes in, second second round is 3 minutes. I do a minute and a half because I'm like, you know what? I think I sweated a little bit. And I stop. And I move on. Yeah. And I get no results.
Yeah.
But it's hard for people who have like an addiction towards food. We can't self-regulate. So I think that's why Z had to do it to the T.
Yeah.
Because if we give ourselves an inch, we go 7,000 miles.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the same thing with you too, is that like, you know, when it comes to food, like I associate you guys, like you and Z, with like us, just because you know me, I don't eat a lot, but I enjoy eating, you know, in general, and I like trying things. And so like when I'm with you guys, I like that. But then when you guys are very, you know, health and diet conscious, I'm like, oh, we can't just go anywhere and just eat anything, you know?
Impossible for me.
Yeah.
Impossible. Like if I stop by McDonald's, if I tell myself, hey, you was, this is like the funniest shit, by the way. So this is what I fucking hate about Google Maps.
Mm.
Google Maps be fucking outing you out. Like they'll, cause what happens is that they always show you the place. Like if you're going towards the direction that you're going, it'll show you the place that you typically go to all the time and say, is this where you want to go? So we're driving back home, right? And I plug my phone in.
Yeah.
It says McDonald's. My brother's like, yo, why are you,
why are you
navigating towards McDonald's? Yeah. He's like, how often do you go to McDonald's where the fucking GPS in your phone?
Wow. Is this home?
Yeah. And this is a McDonald's that I always go to. I got so pissed at my phone. I'm like, yo, how the fuck are you going to out me out like that?
That's crazy. I've never seen that.
No, he was dying laughing. Yeah. Like, how often do you go? Well, it's been so hot during the summer, I probably get like a soft serve from there every other day.
Oh, man.
That shit pissed me off. I was so fucking mad. That shit was hella embarrassing.
Dude, but speaking of McDonald's, we were talking about this shit too. It's like fucking $10 now for a value meal. It's crazy. You can't call it a value meal anymore. There's no value in that.
So before we went to Big Bear, we went to McDonald's and stopped by.
Yeah.
And I told him I hadn't had McDonald's in a long time. I lied.
Well, you got caught red-handed with that one. I got caught
greasy-handed. But we got two Filet-O-Fish meals and then a double cheeseburger meal, right? The regular size, not the large. It came out to $35.
God damn.
Three fucking value meals came out to $35 at McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Back in the day? Not even back in the day. This is before pandemic.
Yeah.
That would have came out to like $22.
Exactly, bro. The like a McChicken is $2.99 now. It's $3. That shit used to be 99 cents. You know, now granted, okay, I know inflation and that was many years ago, but we're not that far removed from the 99 cents days.
Yeah.
This is only a handful of years ago. Yeah. So if it was sitting at like maybe, I don't know, $1.99 now, $1.89, $1.79, okay, I get it. $2.99, what the
crazy,
fuck?
Crazy, man.
$3 for a McChicken that mashed, there's not even like chicken chunks, it's just fucking mashed chicken, you know?
And there's, guess what hasn't changed though? That soft serve though.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for the soft serve.
Yeah.
I eat that so often because my soft serve company went down. So
get your fix.
Dude, for the value, McDonald's soft serve is great. Like, is it artisanal? No, it's that, you know, powder mix, whatever, but it's good.
But even the soft serve, they used to be like 79 cents, 89 cents. Remember that? How much is it now? Like $1.99?
It's like a dollar something.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That shit goes away in 2 seconds. No. It's almost comical.
It's classic though. I mean, the worst thing for me is that like whenever I'm craving a soft serve while like passing by McDonald's, I'll pull in and they won't ever fucking have it because the machine's down. You know,
not the one that I go to.
You got a good one.
They know me.
Yeah.
It's almost weird. Like I kind of get a little embarrassed when I show up. Like, how you doing, man? I'm like, don't talk to me like we're friends. I'm just here for the soft serve.
Don't get familiar, bro. Yeah, just give me what I ordered.
Like, how's the family? Hey, fuck you, man. Just give me my fucking soft serve, dog.
See, you're the problem, bro. You're the type of guys who I'm saying hello to, and they don't want to reciprocate.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't fuck it. Like the people behind me are like, yo, how often does he come here? New haircut? Hey, man, shut the fuck up.
Don't out me like that.
Yeah, fucking hella loud and shit. Whisper that shit, bitch. Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. You can catch Genius Brain every Sundays at 12 p.m. If you guys are a sneakerhead out there and I said that you're terribly dressed, don't take that too personally. Because if it is you, just fix it, all right? Just stop spending all the money on your fucking shoes. Get a fucking haircut. Bathe yourself. Do something about that shit.
Look presentable.
Yeah. You can catch Ed at Ed2 and the Secret Society, SecretSociety. We are dropping a new line very soon. You'll see that in another podcast. But Genius Brain every Sunday is at 12 p.m. And we'll see you all next time. Peace.
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.